Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today, I'm on with Chris and Michael. Guys, please, first of all, tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with City Bonfires.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm Chris. This is Michael. We're calling in from Rockville, Maryland, just outside of Washington. We started City Bonfires in the summer of 2020, and we're here in our warehouse in Rockville, just shipping out orders and taking it from there.
Awesome. So yeah, interesting time to start a business, but it's actually a time where I found a lot of people that come on the podcast actually started businesses right around that time, right in the middle of the pandemic. So can you tell me a little bit about your background leading up to, you know, what kind of caused you to create this brand? I mean, what did you see out there in the market as far as maybe a lack of product or, you know, products that were there, but maybe, you know, we're not as the same as what you guys are trying to make? I mean, what kind of problem are you looking to solve out there in the market with this product?
Sure. There you go, Mom.
I sold some equipment to restaurants prior to this, and Chris was in ticket sales, and we were kind of hanging out in the backyard. We were stuck at home as everybody else was, and we kept making fires with the kids, but the kids would, you know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes into the fire, they were done with it.
Right.
So I were trying to figure out a way to make it more convenient and more portable, and so that's where City Bonfires was born.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you said you started in 2020. So what was kind of your timeline from the original like idea for this product that you guys talked about? And then what was the actual launch date? Can you give me a little bit of like kind of timeline of your like product development before you actually went to market for the first time?
Yeah. So in April, May timeframe was, you know, like prime lockdown, you know, nobody knew what was going to happen. My only career I ever had was in the live entertainment business of ticket reselling, right? Like with StubHub and Ticketmaster and so on. So obviously, as everybody can remember that time, everything was shut down. There was no events, no games, no Broadway and so on. And looking back, like how crazy is that, right? To think that all that was shut down. I would stay up all night, like researching on YouTube and watching different things on Shopify and learning about drop shipping and so on. And then I was looking, just learning about getting products from China and shipped over, because that's what like, a majority of these like gurus will teach you, you know, online. I'm not saying that it's wrong. You know, there's plenty of money to be made there, more than ever, probably. But we wanted to make something here in the States and, you know, have a little more control over it, especially during those times where you couldn't get certain materials or the shipping wasn't coming over from China. And that went on, you know, for 2 years, I think, where the shipping prices are still extremely high from where they were prior to COVID. So we decided, you know, that it was kind of that May, June timeframe that we really started kicking it up with this particular idea. You know, at the beginning, there was a few different products that were going through my mind. And then May and June, it really kicked up. And then we created a website and so on. And our first sale was August 10th.
That's awesome. No, I appreciate you sharing. That's an awesome story. And what was your kind of general go-to-market strategy at that time? I mean, obviously during COVID, you're probably selling online like almost 100%. It's kind of all you could do at that time. I don't think retailers are really taking on new products really at that time. So
I think they were kicking products back.
Yeah, exactly. The opposite. Exactly. Right. So have you kind of you know, moved into having those conversations with retailers now as you're, you know, getting through 2024 here? Or are you, and if you are you still doing mostly online? Give me what is kind of the breakdown turn into here in 2024 now?
Sure. So obviously, like you said at the beginning, it was all online. We made a couple Facebook ads, we posted them, and it really took off. It was a lot easier back then than it was now with the ads, right? And everybody was stuck on their phone. They didn't know what to do. They weren't going on vacations. Nobody went on spring break. So everybody had all this extra money. So it was easy to spend 30, 40, 50 bucks online, right? When you weren't going to dinner, you weren't going to the bar, you know, wherever it was, you know, for your kids, whatever it may be. So the disposable income was a lot easier to be spent online back then. But maybe a year or so in, we started getting into retail stores. Now we're in many Academy Sports, Shields, AFEES, Tractor Supply, many others. But that it's really been the last 2 years. I'd say in 22, it really kicked up with the retail. And then online, it is still a good bit of the business. Not nearly as much of what was at the beginning, you know, just because we branched out, we do a ton of corporate gifts, promotional products where we could label the top of the bonfire or the outside of the s'mores kit. So we've just learned different avenues and where the product kind of fits. And a lot of times it kind of tells us where to go. So, you know, that we're just kind of going with what we got.
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned basically that you were doing some like kind of custom things for like corporate gifts and things like that, because I was curious, because when I looked at this product, I was like, I can imagine this like being kind of a novel design. I mean, there's obviously other products like this out there, but nothing I've seen that looks like yours. So I was curious if you and your like, you know, the manufacturers you work with, I don't know if you have you know, ownership of your manufacturer or not, but are you doing any private labeling with this design to anybody in any capacity or?
Yeah, great question. We own the manufacturing. We That's manufacture awesome. Everything here at our warehouse that we're in Rockville. We don't send any private label in a sense to where you could make Matt's bonfires with our units.
Right.
We do partner with some folks to sell it as city bonfires with, like, for example, we just started working with Coleman, right?
Oh, so cool.
So the old outdoor brand Coleman. So we sell a like a collaboration of our unit by Coleman. And then we do have an entire line of fire pits, smokeless fire pits coming out this fall with Coleman as a collaboration. And so that's really exciting as well, but no private label without us being on it.
Yeah, that's very cool. And but how did you end up getting in a conversation with Coleman? Did they reach out to you, or had you been kind of actively looking for opportunities to do collaborations with brands like that?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Good question. But they had seen it's a company that owns the license for Coleman Grills and Fire Pits that reached out to us, and we've kind of been partnering with them. So it's through this a licensee holder of Coleman, not necessarily Coleman Corporate, which is Newell Brands. So we're working with a licensee holder of the fire pits and grills to help them sell the grills, and then also do a collaboration with our original bonfire and then a line of smokeless fire pits.
Very cool. So what kind of led you to, I mean, it seems like a natural progression, right? But like what ended up leading you down the path of, you know, wanting to expand the product line with more SKUs and specifically with this product that you're launching next fall?
We just didn't want to have to get a regular job again. Yeah. So yeah, you know, we're trying to do, you know, whatever we can to keep it going and stay relevant, and partnering with a brand like Coleman. You know, next year, 2025 will be their 125th anniversary.
Wow.
So they started in 1900 with a light, right? With the lantern. And we started in 2020 with a light in our bonfire, right? So it's kind of this old American traditional company partnering with this new young, we're not that young anymore, brand of, you know, of city bonfires. And we've been seeing, you know, hundreds of millions of times on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and so on. So we're kind of bringing the old into the new. You know, and then, you know, obviously it's incredible to be able to use their name and, you know, be together. So it's a good mix.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know you mentioned that you have a pretty strong following, it sounds like, on social media. Is that pretty much your biggest driver to like your remaining D2C business that you're doing? Usually coming from your socials, or are you still running any paid advertising? What's your kind of like, you know, online presence look like that's driving revenue through the website still?
Yeah, the highest driver is definitely still paid ads, mm-hmm. unfortunately, right? It'd be a lot cooler if you could just get all organic sales and still make a good living.
Yeah.
But yeah, we still, you know, do plenty of paid ads every day. And then, you know, we're posting every day and sending out emails to our subscriber list and so on. So, but little mix of it all together.
You mentioned subscriber list. Is that just like a newsletter subscriber you're talking about, or do people actually order these like on a subscription basis?
We do have subscriptions, but subscriber list, meaning very just cool. Going to come to the website and signing up for 20% off or so on. And, you know, and then any previous purchasers, you know, we'll hit up, you know, through email a couple of times a week.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what do you kind of have set up? I guess I'm curious, you know, one area of like a lot of variability I find with, you know, your brands like yours is obviously YouTube. I still do working in your manufacturing facilities, shipping stuff out yourself, right? So what do you kind of have set up as far as like when you like want to create like a new ad campaign or do your posting? Is that just kind of you guys doing all that stuff still yourselves, or do you have a team behind you? Do you have any like, you know, fractional people working with you? What's your kind of setup look like that way for like the team behind you?
Well, Chris's wife is actually the magic there. She really handles that stuff and comes in. She's got a really good sense of what's going on online, what people are reacting to. And so she kind of gets the basis of that. We do have like a video production team and a film crew that we work with when we're shooting new videos to make sure that the quality stays appropriate. You know, and so when we roll the stuff out, it looks as professional as possible, because that's what we're seeing the best response to.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I guess on the retail side of things as well, what do you generally look for, you know, in new opportunities to sell with different retailers? I mean, what kind of like characteristics or like value issues do you look for in a store that you're getting into work with?
Payment terms. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
It's fair enough. It's a very fair answer.
They could pay as fast as possible. No, just good, you know, good hearted, like an academy sports, right? You know, like mm-hmm. We'll obviously talk to anybody. I don't think there's any particular store that I could think of that we wouldn't want our stuff in, right? And whether that's from Walmart to Nordstrom or, you know, whatever, right? Like, I think I've shopped in both, right? I think everybody's shopped in both, right? And I think our product can fit, you know, perfectly anywhere. You know, when we get into some of the larger Coleman items, like a huge grill and things like that, obviously that has more of a destination than our smaller unit that you could fit a 24 counter display, you know, next to the register, right? Obviously you can't put 24 grills next to a register.
Right.
With our products, I don't want to say we don't care as much, but it can fit into a lot more areas than some of the other stuff that we plan on selling. So for the current product, we just, you know, look for good partners that we feel that will have good sell through and pay on time.
We've had a lot of success with like beach town resorts, like the gift shops there.
I could see that. Yeah.
Gift shops, those and like mountain towns and resort areas. Those have been a big factor for us and really supported us the entire time. So we also, you know, fit well in that gift shop, a resort town type store like that.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I'm just curious, like, you know, maybe for anybody listening, how far is your reach with the, you know, the retail doors that you're in? Is it mostly still local to like Maryland, kind of Northeast New England area, or it's not really New England, but is it kind of in the general like Northeast, the East Coast area, or do you have stores across the country now?
Oh, we're all over the country. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, Academy has 288 stores, I think. So, you know, and that's all in like the Southeast-ish, pretty much. Shields is a big store in the Midwest. Tractor Supply, I think, is all over the country, right?
I have a Tractor Supply here in upstate New York where I live, so.
Yeah, Ace Hardware, we're in a number of those. Those are individually owned for the most part. So we're not in every single one, right? Where the owners can, you know, can pick what's in their stores. So, but we're in a number of them, you know, at least 100, I'd say. And then, the not just our area, we're all over the country.
Yeah, it's amazing. And two questions I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast. The first being, what is your biggest kind of like point of pain right now in 2024, as far as like everything from operations to your sales to everything that's going on? What has kind of been like the biggest thing kind of like, you know, weighing on you guys here in Q1, Q2, 2024?
We're just trying to stay relevant. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. we have a great product. People have a lot of fun with it. We're trying to make sure we get it in front of the people that maybe we haven't gotten in front of, or get it back in front of people who've already used it once, and to make it much more convenient for them. So the D2C angle is great, but if it's in a local store that they can walk in and grab, how many more sales can we gain that way? And so that we're just trying to make sure we're available to people in simple fashion. So they can always order it and we can ship it directly to them, but we also want to be the places that they want to be. So if they're just like, oh, I want one, boom, it's there and easy to get. So that we're kind of did backwards. We did D2C first and now we're backfilling in retail relationships.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I actually find a lot of folks did that, especially, you know, people who we were either founded right before COVID or even during COVID. And I think it actually does a lot more than, you know, people, not that people think, not that people don't think it works that way, but I think there's actually a very unique advantage in getting an online selling presence first, because I feel like it gives you a lot of leverage in order to talk to those retailers later on to have like a real proof of concept and actual sales already. Having those conversations with, like, you know, trying to get into wholesale as like your first revenue stream right off the bat with just like a prototype, basically, it can be really, really hard, and you can get some really bad deals that way if you don't really have a leg to stand on with a proof of concept or anything. So I actually find that a lot of folks who end up in a lot of retail doors, a lot of them started out that way. So I'm not surprised you guys are having a lot of success on both fronts. And, you know, to keeping an omni-channel is obviously great for the longevity too. You know, in case, God forbid, anything like COVID ever happens again, at least all your eggs aren't in that basket. You still have a great online presence to be able to fall back to that, you know, 100% again, God forbid, if that ever becomes necessary. So that's amazing.
I wouldn't mind everybody stuck on their phones again.
Yeah. You know, D2C sells the best, aren't they? This is great. You get that like direct customer interaction, the direct feedback, the real relationship, which like is probably why, you know, you have a, you know, a good subscription base with this product too. It's really impressive because you kind of have this, you kind of have everything from like, you know, near the register, like you say, where the kind of like, I don't know what it's called, like an impulse buy, like up by
exactly
register feel. And then people who like order it so often, like that they're actually subscribing to it too. There's not a lot of products that are, you know, have both of those values, that have subscription model value and have impulse buy value. Those are usually mutually exclusive, but so it's really cool. You guys have been able to do that's awesome. And the other question that I always love to ask is just, you know, if you can go back to 2020, I guess, you know, just barring like, I wish I saw COVID COVID coming. Now, if you go back and give yourself any piece of advice, if you were to start the business again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
What?
Believe. I mean, I think we believed in ourselves and we took a chance and you know, we invested some capital. We made something. We thought it was cool. We put some videos out and it kept rolling, you know, and the sales kept coming and we kept adding more to it. And then we added, you know, the s'mores kit and then skewers, and, you know, then these cool different semi-round bowls and all this stuff. Then we added all the corporate stuff. What are your thoughts?
I was just going to say to buy the NVIDIA stock, you know, in 2020.
Great answer. Game stock and NVIDIA stock. That's all that shit.
I don't know. Cause everybody was just on such uncertain times, right? I guess just like mm-hmm. to keep going. I don't know exactly what I would go back and tell myself, because I think that everything was figured out the way it should have been without knowing about anything at all, right? Like, because like we said prior to this, you know, we both had completely different careers and completely different industries. I mean, I did sell the tickets online, right? So I guess I was selling stuff online, mm-hmm. but I wasn't making ads, right? Like the baseball, you know, I was selling professional sports and concerts, right? So it was much different sales tactics or strategies, I guess. So I don't really know. I don't think I would change anything. And I think that it was all just perfect the way that it has worked out.
That's awesome. Hey, that's a great answer. And I mean, I think you have a really healthy perspective on that. I mean, you could obviously look back and say like, yes, we made mistakes and like, we never want to go through that again, but it sounds like you have a pretty like, you know, just nuanced and even keeled perspective. I'm like, yeah, we made mistakes, but we didn't know anything going in. So like, what are you going to do? Like, you just have to learn as you go.
I mean, I make mistakes this morning already. Right. But if you learn, you know, then it's not a mistake.
Exactly. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got on the podcast was, somebody kind of had a sort of similar answer. We were talking kind of similarly to how we are right now. And I basically said that, you know, mistakes are answers to future problems, which like I thought was a very succinct way to explain like, you know, what everybody says, which is like, you know, like don't run from your mistakes, like learn from your mistakes. And like the general sentiment, like, yes, like everybody hears that, everybody knows you should do that. But I think to expand on that and just kind of say, not only like learn from your mistakes, but also like, don't forget about it either. Like learn from it, overcome it, but then also, you know, take the time to actually deliberate on those things as well, because something similar will probably happen again in the future. And if you kind of push it away in your mind, it's going to be like it just happened for the first time again when it happens 5 years down the line, rather than, you know, if you have a perspective and kind of, you know, appreciativeness for, you know, the mistakes that you've made and everything you've learned like you do, I think it'd be really powerful going forward as like, you know, you deal with things. It might not be the exact same issue, but can kind of be, you know, attributable to something you've done in the past, help you overcome it with a little bit more grace the second time or third time around, right? So no, that's awesome. And yeah, I really appreciate you guys. Want to give you a quick opportunity too, just for anybody listening, to, you know, shout out your website, your social medias, you know, anybody maybe interested in getting a potential business partnership with you guys, or just want to check out the product or place an order, what's the best way to stay in touch with the guests?
Yeah, our website is citybonfires.com, or the Coleman website is colemanbackhome.com, where all the grills are currently. We'll soon have them on our website as well. The fire pits will be out in the fall. You could find us on there. You could hit us up on our Instagram, which is at citybonfires. All the socials are at citybonfires, and we'd love to talk with anybody at any time about, you know, partnerships, you know, whatever it may be, any ideas at all.
Awesome. Well, guys, I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate your time and just want to wish you guys the best of luck, continued success. I love what you're doing. And thanks again for coming on. I appreciate the insights and the conversation.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Chris, Michael. Thanks, everybody.